A very good morning to you. Mary Fagan here with my special guest, Dominican priest Gregory Carroll. Father Gregory Carroll, thanks very much for joining me this morning on Horizons.
You are very welcome, Mary. Thank you for inviting me.
Father Gregory, this is a big year for Dominicans all over the country. Tell us what's been celebrated.
It is, Mary. St. Dominic lived at the end of the 12th, beginning 13th century, so he got this idea of having a band of itinerant preachers, and eventually then he got full permission in 1216. And then he died in 1221, and then within another 3 years, we're not sure how many, maybe about 10, a dozen friars came from Blackfriars in Oxford to Ireland. So in the last few years, we've been celebrating the 8th centenary of the founding of the order, the 8th centenary of Dominic's death, and now the 8th centenary of a continuing presence, Dominican presence on the island. There's always been Dominicans since 1224.
Tell us a little bit about the charism of the Dominicans.
Mm-hmm. I suppose the main charism is we're preachers, we preach of the word, we're itinerant preachers. When Dominic had his first 12 friars together, he broke them up two by two and sent them into the cities, the major university cities, to preach the word. And that was his whole focus. He originally was a canon regular of St. Augustine in his local cathedral. He was accompanying his bishop, Diego, on his abnimina visit to Rome. No flights in those days, so they were travelling by probably donkey or ass or something up through Spain, because Dominic was Spanish, into southern France, and was there. Then he came across some of the heresies of the time, the Albigensian heresy, the Cathars and that. And he asked his bishop then, could he stay, instead of going on to Rome, could he stay and start preaching band to preach against these heresies? So that was sort of the beginnings of the order. As I said, it was in 1216 that he got the go-ahead from Rome. The order was formally formed. I suppose, you know, so that we tend, most of us tend to move around a good bit in our lives.
Well, for yourself, what attracted you to the order? As a young man, what drew you into it?
I was invited to attend a vocation retreat one summer. I was only about in my, what's now called junior cert, intercert year. And I had been thinking of priesthood for a long time at that stage, but the only model I had was diocesan, you know, of the priest in my own parish. I grew up in Naas, County Kildare. Now, we had Newbridge College, which was quite near, which I was aware of it. There were a number of Dominicans from the town. Two had been in school with my father, so I knew of their existence. And other Dominicans then, his parents were school teachers. When they retired to Naas. So I got to know him before I even entered. He actually ended up my student master later.
Which school were you in?
In CBS in Naas. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I started off, obviously, in Mercy's Convent, in infants and high
babies.
Infants. Mm. But then I did all my primary and my secondary education with the Christian Brothers in Naas. Mm-hmm. I went to Tallaghan on this retreat. Dominic had this idea of we would be sort of semi-contemplative, you know, and that we would sort of ponder or reflect on the word of God, and then you bring forth then the fruits of your contemplation to the people. So it was a very formal liturgy, you know, sort of sung morning prayer, midday prayer, evening prayer, night prayer, you know, lauds and vespers and various things. That sort of attracted me, although I'm a non-singer, but it attracted me. I also found, I felt at home. I found a very friendly, welcoming atmosphere. So when I did my leaving cert then, I decided to give it a try. Strangely enough, even though I was fairly clear in my mind that this is what I wanted to be, I found it very hard actually to sign the letter requesting an interview.
What did your parents think?
My parents were delighted. I'm the eldest of five. I have a brother and three sisters. But when we knelt every evening after supper, after evening meal, to say the rosary, the fifth mystery was always offered, that the Lord would bless the family with a vocation.
That was what your parents really wanted.
Yeah. Yeah.
So did you sign the letter? You obviously signed the letter.
Yeah, it was Feast of Corpus Christi, 1966. Mm. So I entered that September in Cork in the novitiate. And then I was in the novitiate for a year, novice. My baptismal name is Patrick. I was given the name Gregory when I entered. I'm that generation.
Did you mind changing your name?
Not really, no. There was something challenging about it, because when you got your name, the provincial said in the world you were known as Patrick, in the order you'll be known as Gregory. And the priest who had baptized me 18 years before that, his baptismal name was Gregory.
Very nice.
So that was a connection, you know. And I've never changed back because people get to know you by your religious name. Now, so when I go home to, well, I don't go to Nace that often now because both my parents are dead and the family have all moved away. I have cousins there. But around Nace and that, I would be known as Pat, or Father Pat. Mm. Whereas around anything since I entered the Dominicans, anybody got to know me since that would just call me Gregory or Father Gregory or Father Greg or just Greg, Father Carol, all sorts of names.
It is a big change, but for you, it was kind of reiterating the commitment you'd made, the change, the new you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So did you stay with it the whole time? Where did your journey go from there?
Well, then at that stage, you know, Vishad was only a year in Cork, but we actually stayed on for a second year and did our first philosophy in St. Mary's in Pope's Quay. And then we moved to Tala, where the House of Studies was at that time. So there were, it was quite a large community there at that stage. There was over 40 students. There had been 80-something, 85 or 86 when I entered, but a lot of people left. There was a lot of sort of people leaving and that, you know, at that stage. So I was in Tala for 5 years studying. I did my BD in Tala because Tala's, our own studium, is affiliated to the Angelicum University, University of Thomas in Rome, Dominican University. And then I would have made my final vows in 71, ordained deacon 72, ordained priest in 73. So I've already celebrated last summer here in Tralee, my golden jubilee.
Very nice, nice, very nice. So did you stay in Dublin? Where has your journey brought you?
The first year after ordination, I stayed in Tala, working in the parish. Tala was changing. It had been a little country village, really, on the outskirts of Dublin. There was green fields between Tala and the city. And then suddenly, in the 60s, then it started developing the new town of Tala. I remember being out one day, one Thursday afternoon, out walking, and I said to my walking companion, they must be going to build houses, because there were pegs in a field. That was the understatement of 6 or 4 centuries.
Absolutely.
Because it went from a village, you know, there was probably just a couple of thousand at that stage, to well over 100,000 living in the greater Tala area, you know.
And with it came a lot of the urban problems.
Yes.
How did that impact on you?
Well, at that time it was very challenging because there were no facilities, you know, there were no churches. We had a monastic type church, you know, with choir form, choir stalls, very small area for the public for attending Mass. So what we had to do was we took down half a wall and built out from that, so changed the whole setup in the church. And even then people were standing at the back. So then we were asked by the Archdiocese to take on the parish of Tala before the sort of the big boom in housing and that. Tala was only part of, I think it was Rathfarnham Parish, with the Church of Ease up halfway up the mountain in Bournebrina. So we were very involved in sort of forming, getting schools up and running, getting churches up and running. It was all young people moving out, people moving from, say, a place like Ballymun, from the flats in Ballymun to houses in Tala, people moving from the inner city to houses in Tala. You know, there was a lot of challenges in that. But it was also, it's very rewarding.
Father Gregory, you're definitely on the journey. Let's have a listen to Mary Moylan and Ellen Godfrey singing Liam Lawton's On the Journey.
On the journey, seek the light of day. On the journey, heaven's blessings we pray. On the journey, may God's fortune descend. We seek the Lord of the way. On the journey, shelter from storm. On the journey, safe be the time. On the journey, shield us from darkness and harm. God be the hope of our lives. The sun shall rise and let its shadows fall deep in the night. All people hear God's call. Rejoice.
Rejoice, rejoice, let all our
shared for all.
On the journey
we rest and sleep.
On the journey
we see your beauty at dawn.
Great is the heart of our God. The sun shall rise and let its shadows fall deep in the night. All people hear God's call. Rejoice, rejoice. Let all our hearts be free. Rejoice, rejoice. Let all the world believe. The risen Lord now calls us to prosper in his peace.
Father Gregory, where to from there?
So at the end then of that first year, I was assigned to Cork.
Big move.
Big move.
You still kind of have a Dublin accent.
Yeah, I suppose.
Even though you're from Naas originally.
Yeah, I suppose I've lived all over. There's probably all sorts of accents in there. Mm. So I, first of all, when I went to Cork, I was in our retreat house in Ennismore for about 18 months. Then I moved to the Priory, where I was for 5 years, working on the staff of the Priory. I was also bursar in both communities too. When I was going to Cork, people said, oh, Cork's a big village. They all know each other. It's very hard as an outsider. I had friends in all sections of Cork. I really enjoy my time in Cork.
And a lot of people love it.
Mm, yeah.
Where to from Cork?
I was brought back then to Talla in beginning of 81 and appointed bursar of community in Talla. That was in January. And in July that year, I was also made vocations director. So I was going to combine those two. That lasted then until 1982 when I'd been asked shortly after the chapter in 81 to apply for a formation course. So to train to be a formator, to be a novice master or student master, whatever. So that took place between 82 and 83. So then at the end of that, then provincial, the late Father Damien Byrne, he asked me to go to Trinidad for 2 years, to a mission in Trinidad, as part of my ongoing formation, he said.
How did you find that? How did
loved
you?
It. I managed to stay there for 10 years.
10 years in Trinidad.
Trinidad, yes. Mm. In the Caribbean.
Lovely weather, I'd imagine.
Yes, yes.
What was it like? Bring it alive for me.
It was marvellous. It was marvellous. I suppose you have to make a choice. You either stay very Irish or you become almost semi-Trinidadian.
What happened to you?
I became a semi-Trinidadian.
Which means what? What is
just
that?
Just accept the whole life and get involved with the people and that. Because I remember a row happening one day at the beach and somebody said, Greg is a real Irish Trinidadian, isn't he? And somebody said, no, he's not. He's a Trinidadian Irish. It's the other way about.
So what was the lifestyle like?
When I went to Trinidad, I was assigned to a Rima. House in the east is about 25 kilometres from the capital port of Spain. We had a priory there, we had a little church, and we had a secondary school. I was only there a couple of months when I was elected prior of the community. It was my first time I was elected prior of the community.
Now, the different terminologies, when you were saying bursar, that's linked to the money side
finance,
of things.
Yeah.
And the prior, what
he's
is involved
he's the superior of the community.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're responsible for all the brothers in the community, you know. It was a Caribbean community, but it wasn't just an Irish or a Trinidadian community. You know, we had Irish living in it. We had some Trinidadians who were part of the Irish province. And then we had also students from some of the other islands, Dominican students, who were living with us and studying at the local seminary in Trinidad.
All English Jews the
whole
time?
At that stage, yes, because they were mainly from, say, the English province, English Mission, which was basically Jamaica, Grenada and Barbados. It wasn't superior prior for very long when we decided to move the students out and have a novitiate house and a student house, which would be the normal setup in a province. So subsequent to that, we decided to try a Caribbean novitiate. In other words, the novices would come to Trinidad to do the novitiate.
Like when I think of it, I think of near the sea holiday kind of lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Did that have any impact on you or did you live your life very quietly?
No. Yeah, obviously we went to the beach for not for a swim, for what's called a sea bath as members of the community. But then as I made friends with local families and that, then they would invite you to go with them as well, you know. I remember one stage, family and the three girls that I was very close to, they used to arrive outside the priory on a Saturday morning about 5 o'clock. And I'd go down and we'd go to the beach and we'd have breakfast on the beach and they'd drop me back in time to do my day's work.
Beautiful. Did you want to stay there for good?
I did, yeah.
What happened when you were moved? How did you feel?
I was surprised. I wasn't expecting at that time to be called back home. I had been elected prior in a community here in Ireland. The provincial said to me, "How soon can you get home?" I said, "Who said I'm going home?" And he said, "I said you're going home. I'm not going to take no for an answer." So I put the phone down and I went over and I sat in my bed and I cried.
That's been part of the life you chose, that you take orders. That, I imagine, is very difficult.
Yes and no. I found it difficult to move at times when I wasn't expecting it. But I realised when I became a Dominican that this was part and parcel of the life. Now, some people have stayed a long time, maybe all their life, in one or two communities where I moved around a good bit. When I started telling some of the other Dominicans, you know, that I had been elected and was going home, they were all sort of saying, "That's great, you know, you're the right man for the job," and that didn't help either, you know. And then I had to go and tell friends, because I'd made lots of friends there, that I was going home.
So you came home to Talla?
No, I came home at that stage to Drogheda. We had a priory in Drogheda at that stage.
How long were you there?
I was 4.5 years. When you're elected or appointed superior or prior, it's for 3 years, and then you can be reappointed for a second 3 years. So I was actually in the middle of my second term in Drogheda when I was elected prior of the bigger community, which was the student community in Talla.
So back to Talla.
Back to Talla. Mm-hmm. That's where I get my Dublin accent from, probably.
Probably. Yeah. How long were you there?
I did just 3 years. I was just finishing a 3-year term. Our numbers of students had dropped quite small. We were only about 4 or 5 students. So they were flapping around in a big building. So the decision was taken at Chapter that year, that was 2000, to move the studio into Domnick Street, or Priory in the Heart of Dublin to Domnick Street. It'd be a smaller community. I was then asked to move into town as master students and set up the new formation programme there.
I'm in conversation with Dominican Father Gregory Carroll. Come back to us after this short break.